This is the podcast from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, September 25th, 2011. Tough questions. Who is going to hell?
Well, you know, Rhonda Ray's pretty funny, don't you think? But the truth is, the subject we're dealing with this morning really isn't funny at all. Nothing funny about it. Fact is, it's probably the most serious subject we're going to be talking about this year. Today, our focus on who's going to hell as we continue our series, Tough Questions.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Morning. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we're two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? Almighty God, we invite you here. We thank you that we had the opportunity to sing your praises. And now, Lord, open us up so that we could take in your truth found in Scripture, so that we might be changed and transformed by your love. Lord, help us not put any walls up right now, but to just be open to receive. Almighty God, we pray this in the name of the Father and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of Connection Church said, Amen.
So who's going to hell? More pointedly, we consider the question that Reverend Timothy Keller raises in his book by the title of The Reason for God. And that question is, how can a loving God send people to hell? And a corollary of that, who are the people that God would send there?
So let's begin to take a closer look here. The first question is, what is hell? What is hell? Over the years, many have proposed ideas to what hell is, and those ideas are really all over the place. What we need to look at is what Scripture says about hell.
I'm sorry.
What does the Bible say?
I'm with you there. Relax. Basically, from what Jesus tells us, it's a place. It's a very real place. It's not some kind of metaphor. It's a very real place of punishment after judgment. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, which is the longest and most detailed account of Judgment Day in the four Gospels, the four Bible stories that talk about Jesus, Jesus says that there will be everlasting fire and everlasting punishment.
In addition to the fire, Jesus also uses images of darkness. And so we're turning to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, and darkness. And now we have eternal separation from God. That's what we find in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 9, that the punishment will include being shut out from the presence of God. Can you imagine eternal separation from God? That is probably the greatest challenge of hell, because when there is no God, there is no hope. Can you imagine being in a dark place of everlasting fire and punishment where absolutely no hope exists? The thought of that should scare the hell out of us, literally. But I'm not sure it always does.
This idea of a God who punishes is really difficult for many of us. In the book that Robert Bella writes, it's called Habits of the Heart, he shares some statistics that indicate that we live in a culture which has no problem with a God of love who supports us no matter how we live. It does, however, object to the idea of a God who punishes people for their sincerely held beliefs, even if they are mistaken.
Here's part of our challenge. In the ancient world, people recognized and understood that something greater than themselves was in charge, and therefore they adjusted their lives accordingly. In contrast, today, many of us tend to think that we are in charge, thinking that we're in control, and therefore the universe should adjust to us. And out of that, many believe it so deeply that this idea of a divine judgment day seems just impossible.
And still, it really seems difficult. It's very hard to reconcile a loving God and the idea of hell. Well, let's continue to take a look at what Timothy Keller shares in his book. He says a common image of hell in the Bible is that of fire. Fire disintegrates. Even in this life, we can see the kind of soul disintegration that self-centeredness creates. We know how selfishness and self-absorption leads to piercing bitterness, nauseating envy, paralyzing anxiety, paranoid thoughts, and the mental denials and distortions that accompany them. Now ask the question, what if when we die we don't end, but spiritually our life extends on into eternity? Hell, then, is the trajectory of a soul living self-absorbed, self-centered life going on and on forever.
And so from that, it's a little different than God sending someone to hell. This then is one's freely chosen identity, which is apart from God, which happens here in the here and now. But then that puts a person on a trajectory that continues then on into eternity. Wow. And the truth is, here's our challenge. Because of sin, every one of us chooses this identity that separates us from God, don't we? As Paul reminds us in the third chapter of Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And so even with this in mind, even knowing this, it's hard for us to imagine people going to such a horrible, undesirable place as hell. I mean, let's get real here. We want everyone to be saved, don't we? Are you with me? Okay. We want everyone to be saved. Well, except for the really bad ones. Bin Laden, Hitler, how about Earl Bradley? Okay, so other than people like that, you know, we can't stand the thought of decent people, decent, good people going to hell. We like to believe that everyone will be saved in the end. And the challenge is this, even though that might be what we want, is that the truth? Is that real? Is that what God says in the scriptures? Do the scriptures guarantee that everyone is saved? I'm going to say that again. Do the scriptures guarantee that everyone will be saved?
Yeah. Because some people believe that. Some do believe. And part of it because, you know, God's desire is that all would be saved. That's God's desire. It says right in Scripture, right there in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
So even though it is God's desire that all would be saved, in fact, the opposite is true. Here is a really tough scripture to share with you. Matthew 7, these are the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.
So in other words, it's not just what comes out of here, but what's in here. Toughest word in this passage, though, is the word many. Many will say to me, Jesus says. And then Jesus will plainly tell them that he never knew them. And to get away. That's a challenge, isn't it? Many.
And so that's what makes the message today very sobering. And it's not necessarily what we want to even say, but it's what we must. We've heard people say, well, I just can't believe that a loving God would allow people to perish in hell. I just can't believe that. Well, the truth is, whether we believe it or not, the truth is the truth, and it doesn't really change the facts. Not everybody automatically goes to heaven. So I want you to hear the word automatic. Not everyone automatically goes to heaven. Hell is real. People can spend eternity there, and that's horrifying, and that's challenging, and that's mind-numbing, and that is the truth that we're dealing with this morning. And in reality, we really would have preferred avoiding to talk about this to you because we think it's probably the most painful message that we've ever given. I know in my almost 20 years of preaching. This has caused more internal nodding between the two of us than any message that we can remember. But challenging as it is, we have to share it because it's the truth as we know it and as we understand the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God.
An even more challenging reality is this. Some people say, well, it's not fair for people to go to hell. They don't deserve it. It's challenging because the truth is, if we all got what we truly deserved, we'd all go to hell. That's the truth. Because we have all sinned, and as Paul tells us in chapter 6 of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. And when he says death, he doesn't mean that we're put in a casket and buried. He means separation from God, which is a definition of hell. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God. This is what sin brings. And the truth is, we are all sinners. Every single one of us. And if we say, oh, no, I won. Oh, now you have the sin of pride. You can't escape it. We try. We try to be on our good behavior. And as Paul says, the more I try to do what I shouldn't do, I do what I shouldn't do, and I don't do what I should do. And I vouch for that as well. Each and every one of us. So if we truly got what we deserved, hell would be in each and every one of our futures.
Tough questions. Tough question. How can an all-loving God condemn people to hell? If God truly loves us, how can God allow some, or as Scripture says, many, to suffer eternal punishment? Well, we expect an answer on this, and not sure that we get the one that we want. Perhaps the best that we can come up with today is the fact that God is perfect, and therefore contrary to sin. Perfection and sin can't occupy that same space. And as such, God can't condone sin. God can only condemn it. And that separation, that sin, does lead to hell. And that's hard for us to understand because we don't want to hear that. But then again, we aren't God. And as we said last week, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. And we need to remember that God doesn't answer to us. In fact, it's the opposite. We answer to God. But we want answers that make sense. And that's not always the way things work. There's a lot of questions in here that, like, what is that about? But we just have to trust that God knows what God's doing, and we are lost without God.
And so we get back to that question, then. How can we say God loves us if God allows, there's the operative word there, though, allows people to go to hell? Allows people to go to hell. Well, let's offer another question. How much love does it take for someone to allow their son to be sacrificed for the sake of someone else? Here the operative word once again is allow. Because God allowed that to happen. God has the power to have stopped Christ's crucifixion, but God allowed that to happen. Sacrifice of his son for the sake of others. Others who have turned away, others who have ignored, others who have shown outright contempt. You and me. Now the question is, would you? Would you sacrifice your only son for someone else's salvation? We have one son, and our ringing answer to that is an absolute no.
Or daughters.
Daughters, right. But the question was son here, so that's why I picked that out. But of course, it'd be the same with girls, with our girls. I mean, we love y'all, but that ain't going to happen. Would you allow your son or daughter to be crucified in order to save people who basically turn their backs on you on a daily basis? You see, that's what God did. That makes about as much sense as this whole hell thing, doesn't it, in our brains? Again, God's ways are not our ways, thank the Lord. Thanks to the sacrificial love that God showed us when he allowed his son to be hung on a cross, we don't have to spend eternity separated from God, as we are so often separated from God in the here and now. In fact, that's what the second half of this scripture we shared earlier tells us. First part said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say that bold part with me, would you? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And so, hell is for real. People go there. People spend eternity there. And in fact, we all would if it were not for Jesus. So many of you might say, okay, what about that really good person who will just do anything for me, take the shirt off of his or her back? Before we get to that person, let's deal with us. Let's deal with each one of us here, our own hearts. The first question to say today to ourselves is, do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Have you given your heart to the Lord? Are you experiencing the saving grace? The grace is that unconditional love that we can't do anything for except to receive it. No matter how good we are, it's asking Jesus in, and that is an unconditional love for you and for me, and that's what Jesus was all about. Have you said, I am a sinner, I am in need of a Savior? Have you invited Jesus in to your heart? Have you invited Jesus into your life? In a few moments, we're going to revisit this and give each one of us, no matter where we are, whether we're far from God or whether we've been walking with God, there will be a time when we can spend some time to pray about that.
Okay, so let's say you got that squared away. You're walking with Christ. Now let's ask about the guy next door. And this isn't selfish, but it's hard to share with him something we don't have or know. Now the guy next door, nice guy, do the world for take his shirt off, his or her back, hopefully his. The question is hell in this person's future? Well, see, Scripture tells us that we're separated from God if we don't know Christ. And that separation continues into eternity. You see? And we think it's God sending us there. We choose. And so it indicates, yeah, to that question, if the person doesn't know Christ, if that sins aren't forgiven through Christ. And so here's the thing. If that person's on your heart, on your mind, maybe it's time to do something rather than saying, God, you shouldn't send him out. Maybe it's time to talk to God about getting this guy to heaven. You see what I'm saying? We spend so much time trying to argue with God about the system God set up rather than working within the system and listening to what God's telling us to do. If this guy's on your mind, I think God's trying to tell you something. Go talk to him. Your first conversation probably isn't, you're going to hell. That probably isn't your door opener. Call me crazy. I was in sales for, that just doesn't seem like the ticket to get a warm fuzzy with your next door neighbor. I might be wrong. You might want to have a cup of coffee with him and just get to know him.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Well, that would be ideal. That would be like heaven, yeah. And you could explain to him how that's a first step there, yeah. So, you make a friend. It's hard to bring somebody to Christ. Make a friend, be a friend, bring the friend to Christ. It's a three-step thing. Be friends. And like I say, we spend so much time, I think, thinking about, gosh, God, why would you do that? Here's the thing also. Sometimes when we think about that person, we want to talk to them about God. The first step should be talk to God about them. Pray. Say, God, give me a direction here. And it might be way different than what you thought it was going to be. But, God probably knows how to reach that guy. Just do something about sharing the love of Jesus with the person you're concerned about. Here's what that Tim Keller, who wrote that book, The Reason for God, says. He says, hell is a terrible fate. And I think we'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? There's no question about that. Hell is not what we want for us or anybody else. It's a terrible fate. No sacrifice is too great to avoid it, including the sacrifice of our time and energy for that guy over the fence. Keller says this too, and this is great. Hell is eternal. That's by definition. It's eternal, but it's not inevitable. So today, people, we don't say people go, we say people can go to hell. They don't have to. No one has to go to hell. Jesus saw to that. And he shed his blood so that no one must go there.
So we're not the judge and jury. We can't say this person's going to hell and this person isn't. That's not what our job is. God's the only one who makes those decisions. The thing to remember is that God is just and merciful. Just and merciful. Never forget that. Never forget that it is God's desire that all be saved. It is God's desire that every single person on this planet through eternity be with God in eternity. You know, we often wonder, in our last breath, if Jesus just knocks, you know, that one more shot at it, one more chance, hoping that we open the door and invite him in. We wonder about that, but we know God's promise. God desires for all of us to be with him. Jesus just may be knocking. Just knocking.
You know, the thing is, since it's not our call, we don't make the decision. We don't. It probably doesn't make a lot of sense for us to spend a lot of time speculating on somebody's, I wonder if JoJo went to heaven. I wonder if JoJo didn't. Do you think, and we might have a discussion, you know, he did the, but did he really know, and we get into these, and all that discussion really doesn't amount to anything because that didn't help JoJo, did it? Encourage you to do this. What we're called to do isn't to speculate. We're called to spend our time, basically three things. Loving God with everything we've got. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. And sharing the love of Christ with those around us. That kind of spending our time there is going to encourage someone into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Because see, wondering doesn't change things, does it? Wondering about somebody's future or their past, does that change anything? No. But Jesus changes things. Jesus is the only one that truly changes things. And maybe you found that in your life. Maybe Jesus has changed your life. And if that's so, then you've got a story to share, don't you? The question is, are you sharing it? And if not, why not? I wonder if JoJo, instead of wondering about JoJo, share with JoJo your story. And the thing is, you're not talking to JoJo about not going to hell. What you're talking to him about is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus talked a whole lot more about heaven than he talked about hell. He did talk about hell, but he talked a whole lot more about a relationship with him and the kingdom of God. That's what we need to do. We don't share Jesus so to say, you know, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. That, I'm not sure how much that gets. Is that really? Or do we want to share how our life is different? Maybe we were living in a hell, but thanks to Jesus, now we're not. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to share, because that makes a difference in people's lives. So if you know that relationship with Jesus, we encourage you to take some time today and pray before you get out of here. Say, God, what do you want me to do with this? Who is it? Oh, that guy you keep tapping me. Oh, is that why Joe Johnson keeps coming into my brain? You're trying to tell me, duh. Do something. Now, if that's not where you're at, where you don't have that change in your life, wouldn't you want it? Wouldn't you want it? What about a relationship with Jesus where your life could be kingdom-like here? Why would we not want that? When we use this, we try to reason out God's things. That's the reasoning thing I don't get. Why would we wait another day to not invite Jesus in so that we could have a changed life? As Carrie said before, basically it's simple. God, I'm a sinner. I'd start by saying, well, here I am, Lord. that might be the start. You might just go off on there for an hour and a half talking about what your life's been. Here I am, Lord. I'm a sinner. I need salvation and I can't save myself. Jesus, please help me. It doesn't get much simpler than that. Jesus, come into my life. I need you to save me. Life changes. Then you got a story to share with a guy over the fence. Now, sometimes people say, well, how about that, that guy out there in China who's never heard about Jesus? I don't know. Is that what God's calling you to do? If it is, you better start packing your bag. I'm not trying to be funny. If that's what God's laying on your heart, then that's what he's calling you to do. Otherwise, the question is, God, who do you want me to talk to? If you don't mind talking to the Chinese guy, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to worry about the ones you told me to deal with. Who is it, God? Because God probably has somebody for each of us. Who is it? And could we encourage you, take some time on the steps, take some time in your seats, go back and pray with Laurie or Dave, whoever's back at the table there. Jesus, I need you, or Jesus, I've got you, but I want to share you. Who do you want me to share you with? Speculation spends a lot of time and energy that doesn't change things. Jesus changes things. Amen? Let's pray. Holy God, it's a tough topic. Put me in knots all week. The idea of hell isn't much fun. I just want to say thank you for your son Jesus, and I pray for each person here. I pray for those that know Christ, that they'd get direction from you to who to share him with. And those that don't, I pray that they'd be able to open up and say, I need a Savior, and I can't save myself, and you're it. Please enter my life. I pray your Holy Spirit would visit each person here today, Lord. Each person here would know your very presence. Each person here would know their need for the Savior or their need to share that Savior with somebody else, because hell is a horrible, terrible place to be. Please help us to realize your kingdom here on earth. It's in Christ and your Holy Spirit we pray, Holy God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that he offers.